is on Sunday in Yirtz Hashem is Shivasa B'Tamos. Let's discuss some of the basic Yisoidos. Mitzvah Shabbat, not Mitzvah Shabbat. It's Sunday. The fast begins by day. Alois HaShachar. And Meikar Hadin, the four Tzoymos, when they were originally instituted, just like Tisha B'Av, which means you fast at night all the way through the day. Just like on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, the fast begins at night. That's really the way all of the fast days were meant to be observed. At least the Dalit, Tzoymos, Shavos, B'Tamos, Har B'Teves, Tzom Gedalia, and Tisha B'Av. We do not do this anymore because it's only a minhag. The reason why we observe the fast days, it's not any longer a halachic requirement why is it not a halachic requirement? I'm forgetting some of the ideas, but the halacha l'maisa, we are very lenient in the Zman Hazeh. We don't observe the fast days the way they were originally established. We just observe them more like a minhag, a custom. And therefore, we observe it only by day, not at night. However, it is brought down. I saw this in a few Sfarim, is that people who want to be machmir or have grounds, you get credit. If a person wants to be machmir, no, but it's different. It's an actual observance of the. You can fast the whole week. That's right, but it's just nonsense. You're not going to get credit in Shemayim. People are going to look at you. You're doing something very, very strange. But
when you fast for a yard sign, if you have a bad dream, is that a 24-hour?
No, it's not. This is a very good point. A bad dream. I don't think there's any such thing as for a bad dream or yard sign that you fast at night. There's a fast for the day. There's something also called a fast tainis shos, just to even fast for a few hours. And then there's a fast where you fast the entire calendar day. A yard site, I never ever heard there's an inyan whatsoever for a yard site to fast the night as well. And certainly there's no such thing as fasting for a bad dream the night, because at night you don't have the dream yet. You don't know you can have a bad dream. You don't know, unless you plan on getting married. What? So when it comes to a dream, it's not even possible for you to fast the night. So the whole takana of fasting for a bad dream is only by day, and for yard side as well. But when it comes to the Dalit Tzoymos, the Ikar takana was to fast the entire calendar day. And therefore, it's brought down that if a person indeed decides he wants to fast a couple of extra hours at night, from the time that it's sundown until the day, well, this year you can't, this year it's Mishai Shabbos, then in a chanami. However, no one does this, and no one should do this, because this is not something that we are on a level to observe. And they also discussed that in the Ikar Hadin, there is an inyan that a person, if he wants, can do all of the five inuyim on the four fast days that were established, Lezeche the Churban, which are not wearing leather shoes, not anointing your body with oil, not bathing, and marital relations. Now the truth is, anyone that comes into shul on a regular fast day, on Shavuos B'Tamos, wearing sneakers that you can notice, and normally he wears regular leather shoes, is mechse kiyohayor. Even though it's true, this is brought down that it's the mitzvah chassid that the person that he wants on the four fast days for the mikdash, you can do all five things. But if you can do the five things, only do it dvarim bitsina, do not do it befar hesya. And therefore, Paiskim say that if it's not during the day, if you have a choice of when you're going to take a shower, so if you it's if you can, it would be better not to take a shower during the day of Shiva Asa B'Tamos. Like this year, Sunday, do not take a shower until the tainis is over. And now the night before, for sure you can take a shower, because we don't observe the night before. But during the tainis itself, there is actually brought down, really we should observe all of the five inuim. We don't do so. So don't do so, especially with regard to matters that are public matters. To walk into shul with sneakers on Shavuos B'Tamos, people are going to think you're crazy. So very good point. So going swimming, it's not the right thing. Exactly. That's where it becomes enough to me that in the day camps and in the sleepaway camps, they do not have swimming activity on Shavuos B'Tamos, because what? Doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference. The laws of Nidcheh are very, very, there's very, very few differences in Nidcheh. You have to understand something. When it comes to the tainus of Shavuot, the Dalet Tzoyma, it's not a din in the calendar day. It is an obligation to fast one day during the month. Tzoyim Harvi, Tzoyim HaChamishi, Tzoyim HaAsiri, and Tzoyim HaShvi. It says in the Navi, it says 4 months. The fast of the fourth month. What day of the fourth month? Any day you want. May Iker Hadin, the community could accept upon themselves, we're going to fast on Tammuz, we'll fast the third day of Tammuz. Because on the 17th day of Tammuz, there's a baseball game we all want to go to. And we all want to eat Franks. Yes, yes. Because there has to be a tzibur. May Iker Hadin, Tammuz Chazal, that's the way it was. So May Iker Hadin, we look at the Chazal, look at the calendar, and they saw on the calendar that day 17 is a big event. It's a big event. So we don't want to fast on that day. It's not a good day to fast on the 17th day of Tammuz. You know what? We'll make it this year. We'll make it this year on the 7th day of Tammuz. We'll make it on a Sunday. Best day is to have it on a Sunday, like this year. Sunday, that way people are home. They can think about what it's all about. They can go to some type of Divrei Torah, some type of event, and mechazik themselves. That was the way it was done originally. Then Chazal came along. It's not a good idea. Let's standardize it. And let's make it on the day of the month that we are really coming to commemorate. Shavuot b'Tammuz is the reason why we have to fast one day during the month. So you know what? Let's make the fast on Shavuot b'Tammuz. Tisha B'Av, it's because of Tisha B'Av. So let's fast on the 9th day, not on the 10th day, not on the 11th day, not on the other day. But Me'ikar Hadin, when the Takana was made that we have to fast, it's not necessarily related to the day. Therefore, just because it's a Nidcha, like this year, where Shavuot b'Tammuz is not observed on Shabbos, because we push to Sunday, it does not really take away at all from the severity of the fast. You can say a Nidcheh is more lenient when it comes to, let's say, Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther. Even Tainus Esther in general, the whole question was, what is the source of Tainus Esther? That's also a whole very, very difficult, very weak. It's hard to really trace it to why do we fast specifically on day 13. So then when it's not going to even be on day 13, then there are leniencies in Nidcheh. But when it comes to the four fast days that were enacted by the prophets to commemorate the Churban Beis HaMikdash, four pivotal events, when the siege began on Asar B'Teves, when the walls were breached on Shavuot B'Tammuz, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and then when the last holdout of remnants, survivors in Eretz Yisrael decided to run away because their governor, Gedalia ben Achikam, was assassinated by this person whose name was Yishmael, then that was the end of the end. So in Gedalia, even after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, there was still a Yishuv living in Eretz Yisrael. And they were put there by Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar says, I don't want this land to be fallow, to be abandoned. I want there to be Jews to take care of the land and stay here and don't run away. I'm appointing a governor. His name is Gedalia ben Achikam. He's one of you. He's going to be your governor. He's going to be in charge. And he's going to give reports back to me what's doing here. Could you only imagine if the Jews remain in the land all of those years? Then no one can say to us that we're occupiers. No one can say to us, then the goyim would never have a shlita in the land. And what happened? Due to jealousy, this fellow Yishmael, he assassinated Gedalia ben Achikam. And they were terrified. When Nebuchadnezzar finds out that the governor was assassinated by a Jew, he'll kill us all. So what did they do? They all fled to Egypt against the advice of Yirmiyah. So all of the four fast days are all pivotal events in the process of Churban. When the city was laid, the siege began, the walls were breached, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and when the remaining survivors fled the land because of the assassination of the governor. Therefore, when the Nevi'im came along and they made a takana to commemorate these four horrible events, you're going to fast one day in each one of these months. So, and when? Whenever you want. Any day you want, pick and choose. Each community rabbi will choose a day for that year and you'll fast. So it's not necessarily anchored to a specific day. Today it is, because today today everything is standardized because of Golus. We have no choice. Everything is standardized. But just because it falls out on Shabbos and we're not going to fast on Shabbos, we're going to fast on Sunday, does not take away at all from the severity of the fast that we observe. Exactly. Because when was he assassinated? It's not even known. Some say on Rosh Hashanah, some say on the second day. The second day of Tishrei, which is not really Rosh Hashanah, but because the whole world observes 2 days Rosh Hashanah, we have no choice but to observe it on the third day. Some disagree. Some say he was Mamash assassin on day three. So there's a whole variety of opinions exactly when it was going to happen. So therefore, that's why a nidche with regard to the Dalit Soymais, you don't really find Chazal telling you any great leniencies we can make use of during these times. Okay, some quick halachas. What happens if a person is not? I won't mention that again. And so therefore, we only observe two things on these days, on the three of the four fast days: eating and drinking. That's it. That's all our custom is, bizman hazeh. We only eat, do not drink. We're not required to not wear leather shoes, not to use oil, not to bathe. These are not requirements. However, since me'ikar hadin, on these fast days, we should really observe all of these things. And most people anyway do not take showers during the day. They take a shower at night when they come home or early in the morning. So maybe early people, when they take it early in the morning before they go to shul, so then maybe it's already day. So you're saying it's not going to be any different than a regular day? I don't know. I hear what you're saying. But if a person wants to be machmir and not bathe on Shavuos B'Tammuz, tovoy olav bracha. Because it's not something you necessarily have to do. You can do it later in the day and in the evening. What?
No mikvah.
Mikvah, no, that's right. Any time that you're not allowed to bathe, you're not allowed to go to the mikvah. Okay, Yom HaKippurim, no one goes to mikvah Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a day when only the Kohen Gadol goes. I shouldn't say that. The Kohen Gadol goes to Yom Mikvah 5 times. So why isn't that called Rechitza? Why isn't that called for the Kohen Gadol Rechitza? Good question. He's not bathing his body, he's just immersing his mikvah tahar. We are not on a Shalhai Madrega like the Kohen Gadol. When we go to the mikvah, we also have pleasure. The proof is, the mikvah is hot. Who today would go into a cold mikvah? It's almost non-existent. So you go into a hot mikvah. It goes to show that a person has a tiny when he goes to mikvah. No, that's how it is. But on Yom HaKippurim, you don't play games. If the mikvah is a hot mikvah on Yom HaKippurim, and you're going to sit there in the mikvah a second more than you're required to be mitar yourself, you're really playing games. Because the inuyim are deraisa. On Yom HaKippurim, you're not allowed to, you have to afflict yourself. The inisim es nafsha seichem. And one of the chamesh inuyim of deraisa is not to bathe. If you go into a mikvah on Yom HaKippurim, and you sit there in the mikvah more than one second, you see people in the mikvah, they dunk 1,000 times. I don't know what they're doing there. They dunk 1,000 times. So you certainly cannot do that on Yom HaKippurim, because in a hot mikvah, that's called bathing. There's nothing to discuss. By extension, on tainis, it's not the appropriate thing on a tainis to bathe. You know, you have to take that with a grain of salt, because the proof is, because what about Purim? Purim, people go to mikvah on Tainus Esther in preparation for Megillas Esther. So they're going to mikvah on a Tainus, but the truth is Tainus Esther is not one of the Dalat Soymais, so that's why Tainus Esther is much more lenient. But you're right, it's not the right thing to go to mikvah on the Dalid Tanias. Okay, now let's go to the next. So that's Tovei Lov Bracha. But wearing leather shoes, that's Mechze Ki Yehoira. Because the Hamoin Am is not Machmir on anything other than eating and drinking. And to wear in shul on the Dalit Tzaymais sneakers, that's not the right thing. That's
non-leather.
That's wrong. If you wear the whole week leather shoes and you come into shul on Shavuos B'Tammuz with sneakers, non-leather shoes, people are going to think you're crazy. You don't know the halacha. Only on Tisha B'Av do you wear sneakers. You'll tell them, you're wrong. I'm right, you're wrong. It's a chumrah. It's a chumrah. It's a chumrah. That's really the way it's supposed to be. So you're really right. But since the Hamoin Am does not appreciate that, so what you're doing is strange, so you have to follow the Hamoin Am, and you're only mechuyiv, you're not mechuyiv to do this, so do not do anything strange in public. Okay, next Shaila. What happens if a person is not fasting? Doctor's orders, you may not fast. You don't fast. You follow what the doctor says. However, you should not eat publicly. Do not go to a restaurant. Do not sit in bagel hole on the stool looking out the window eating breakfast on Shavuos B'Tammuz, even though the doctor told you, I order you to eat breakfast, have a good hearty breakfast. This is necessary for your health. You're permitted l'chatchila to eat, but nevertheless, it is not the right thing. It's brought down in the Poskim to eat on Shavasa B'Tamuz in a public restaurant. People go into the restaurants to buy food for later on, or go into Bagel Hole to buy food for when the fast is over, or they'll go into Bagel Hole to buy food for their children who are not fasting. It's not the right thing when they go into Bagel Hole to buy some bagels for their children, or for later to break the fast, to see you sitting there on the bench munching away on bagels and lox, bagels and cream cheese. That is shaloi kahalacha. If you eat, you have to eat bitsina. What happens if a person forgets? It happens all the time. People, they go home, they just have this nature of opening up the refrigerator and looking inside. And if they find something they like, happens over here in the shul all the time. And they find something they like, they make a bracha and they eat it. So if you make the bracha and you already ate, so therefore a person, do not say, listen, I already broke the fast. I already blew it. I already broke the fast. It was a real mistake. It was an accident. So once I broke the fast, I might as well go all out. I might as well take out some steak and have a delicious lunch and dinner. No such thing. Just because a person by mistake he ate, you're not allowed to eat anymore. Stop cold in your tracks. You can make a bracha achrayna. If you already made a bracha, you could definitely make a bracha achrayna. But do not eat anything more for the remainder of the day. Are you mechuyev to make it up, to fast tomorrow, another day? No, you're not. You're not mechuyev. If you made a real mistake, real error, and you ate by mistake, you stop eating, you do not have to be mashed from the tainus another time. There are those who hold that l'chatchila you should. We don't do that. That's a chumrah. It's too much of a chumrah. We don't do that. Just the rest of the day, don't eat. Okay, next shayla. Let's say you make a bracha. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, borei minei mizoinos. About, and then your wife walks in and says, what are you doing? It's a tainus.
Give it to me.
Don't eat it. You made a bracha. It's a bracha levatala. What's going to be? This is a machloikis. There is no answer to this question. This is an age-old machloikis hapoiskin. Two sides, some hold. You should eat a teeny, teeny mashu. You made the bracha, eat pachos mikashir, just eat a teeny, teeny mashu, put it in your mouth, and so the bracha should be chal on something, and that's it, don't eat anything for the rest of the day. Others say, no, you're not allowed to eat. You made a bracha? No, you made a bracha. Is that the only mistake you made in your life? It's not the only mistake you made in your life. You say, Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchuso Li'olam Vo'ed, and that's it. That's the best that you can do. Machloek, a person should never come to this, but if a person happens, it happens sometimes, you make a bracha and you realize the fast day, so what
can
should
you
do?
Brush your teeth and use a mouthwash?
Yes, you can brush your teeth and you can use mouthwash. Yes, just do not. Yeah. What? You can brush your teeth, you can use mouthwash, but you should be very careful not to allow any liquid to enter into your mouth. What happens if you have to take medicine and the doctor says you have to take the medicine with food? I do not allow you to take this medicine on an empty stomach. You have to at least drink. So if you have to eat, you have no choice. If the doctor says you have to eat, you're not allowed to take it on an empty stomach, then you have to eat. Let's say he says you don't need to eat, but you need to take it with water. You have to have a drink. That you have to do. You can fast and take the medicine, but at least a drink. So then the rule is you should drink something bitter. You should take something very bitter. What's bitter? So they write over here, you should take tea. No sugar, no milk, tea or but very, very strong. You should add something into the liquid which makes it distasteful. You should make it distasteful. Okay, don't what? Yeah. If a person is not b'matz of sakana, he's not a choyle shema sakana. Let's see, we're talking about he need even more. If it's less than a shear, but even less than a shear, l'chatchila, it should be bitter. It should not be something which gives you satisfaction. That is a violation of the tainus. Even less than a shear, you're not supposed to be toying at anything. If you have no choice but to take a medication with a drink, with a liquid, even less than the shear, l'chatchila, you should do something to that liquid to make it distasteful for you. If you will never drink a tea without sugar, sugar, then don't add sugar. If you'll never drink a cup of coffee without sugar or milk, so take some coffee without sugar or milk to you. It tastes like poison. Or, I don't know, whatever you would normally do, whatever you normally would not have pleasure from, that's lechatila what you should do to the liquid in order that it should be distasteful when you take the medication with liquid. Now, what is it?
If the doctor goy or chiloni?
It doesn't make a difference. It does not make a difference if he's a goy or chiloni. A doctor in our day and age is trusted to tell you the truth because he needs to preserve his good reputation to gain new customers. If the doctor looks at you as a Jew and allows his anti-Semitic feelings to influence what he says to you, he's going to lose customers because when people are going to find out that he gave you bad medical advice, no one's going to use him anymore. So it does not make one bit of a difference in today's day and age if the doctor is Jewish, non-Jewish, religious, not religious, Satma, Lubavitch. It doesn't make a difference.
In this situation for Pesach also, if they go to the
Chometz, same thing. Chometz is a dover, it's chorus.
Okay.
So then you have to really be careful. Sometimes doctors have a tendency to be machmir, more machmir than is necessary. Sometimes not. You don't play around with the doctor. You always say, people always say, I always tell you this, is that Hatzalah's busiest day. When is Hatzalah's busiest day? Here, everybody say, when is Hatzalah's busiest day? Not Yom Kippur, not Tisha B'Av, it's Mitzoy Yom Kippur. Mitzoy Tisha B'Av, Mitzoy Atanis. Why? Because people always say to themselves, I feel great, I feel fine, I'm not taking the medicine. Doctor Schmachter, I don't care what the doctor tells me, I'll do whatever I want. You don't take the medicine, and you get through the day perfectly. And then it catches up with you. Then on Mitzoy Tisha B'Av, Mitzoy Yom HaKippurim, then I didn't take the medicine 12 hours ago. Oh, now the body, it's catching up. Emergency. Atzal is busy the whole night. Mitzoy Yom HaKippurim. They're busy the whole Mitzoy Yom HaKippurim. Not on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is quiet day. Quiet day. No one's traveling. No one's getting into trouble. Everyone's staying home and quiet and air conditioned. No one's doing anything. It's relatively speaking, a very quiet day for Atzalah on Yom HaKippurim. When the phones ring off the hook is Mitzoy Yom HaKippurim, because all of the machmirim who did not listen to the doctor and did not take their medicine, and now it's 12 hours later, the medicines, the body has caught up to the absence of the medicine, now they're in trouble. So when it comes to Yom HaKippurim, you have to be very careful and you have to really know you cannot generalize. Every situation is different. Period. Okay, next topic. When is the last time you can eat before the tinus begins? Alois HaShachar. Halacha l'maisa, most of us follow the opinion that Alois HaShachar in America is 72 minutes before sunrise. For some reason, everyone accepts that. You don't really see big differences of opinion. Pretty much everyone follows. You look at the calendar, you look at sunrise, Google it, and calculate 72 minutes before sunrise. That's the last moment when you can eat. Now, there are conditions. Number one, if you want to wash for bread, you have to add 72 plus 30. You're not allowed to begin a bread meal within 30 minutes of the beginning of the fast. So if you wake up and you only have 10 minutes left to the beginning of the fast, it's a very long fast this year. Yeah, you got to really...
3:40
is Alois HaShachar. So that means 3:10. If you get up... 3:40. It's a very long fast. Prepare well. If you're going to fast, then when is it over? It's over. When is it over? Like 8 o'clock? When is it over? I mean, 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock. 9:10. It's really, really not easy. No, you don't know. You don't have to. No, it's the middle of the night. Birchas HaShachar begins.
Yes, already.
Doesn't matter. You're not mechuyev to. You're not mechuyev to Birchas HaShachar.
You know. Here,
okay, Rabbi Yisrael, what's the? If you morning wake up, so this is a 3:40 Birchas HaShachar.
That's what it says.
3:40.
Netz is 5:28. Mishiyakir is 4:20. Alos is 3:40.
3:40. So 3:40.
How come 72 minutes?
75 minutes to an hour now.
No, but the 75 minutes be, you know,
so sure,
for sure, those videos, 75 minutes. I'm telling you what it says.
Not in a quarter.
All right, 72 minutes. L'chora, this is flat 72 minutes. You don't have to go make a deal. Shows money. The chumrah shows money is 7 alos. You normally just say a flat 72, a sunrise, go back 72 minutes. That is called alos hashachar. So let's say it's 3:40. If you wake up 3:35, I got 5 minutes left to go. 5 minutes left to go. You're not allowed to wash. That is usur. To wash, you have to wash
3:10.
You have to wash 3:10. And then you can eat bread until the very, very last second, but washing a su'udah, a bread su'udah, can only begin, you have to have at least a half an hour before. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. If you're not washing, you're taking a snack, mizoinos, shahakol, as long as you're not having a su'udah, you can eat, you can begin eating even 10 seconds before, you'll eat very quickly, right until, up until alois hashachar. Now, we're not finished yet. There's another halacha chumrah, and that is, ideally, you're not really allowed to eat unless you make a t'nai before you go to sleep. Because the assumption is, this is what it says in Shulchan Aruch, when a person goes to sleep this year, Mitzvah Shabbos, basically the fast begins when you go to sleep. That's when the day begins. The day begins when you go to sleep. A very big question, how come the Siddur begins with Moda Ani? The Siddur should really begin with Hamapil. It should begin with, no, so why isn't it with Ma'arif? Every machzor, all the art school machzorim begin with Mincha Ma'arif, right? When does Yom Tov begin? Why doesn't the Siddur begin with Vuhurachum? The day in Halacha, the calendar day begins. The day begins with night. So what do you do at night? You daven. You daven at night. So Ma'arif. So it should be Vuhurachum. Good question. I don't know. We don't, obviously,
you're what? Davening Mincha right before Ma'arif, so it's convenient to have.
I know that that's in the Machzor, but I'm saying, why doesn't a regular Siddur, from time immemorial, a Siddur begins with Moda Ani Lefonecha? Why? It should be with Ma'arif, the calendar day. In Judaism, the calendar day begins with Ma'arif. It should be Vuhu Racham. The Siddur should be Vuhu Racham. It should end with Mincha. Okay, you can think of an answer yourself. What? With Shachris. Shachris. Eina Chanami, there are different dimensions to the day. There's the calendar day, and there's another dimension the day begins. But you've shown some of the old, when some of the calculations where they figure out the 100 brachos a person is obligated to say every single day. We know that halacha. You're supposed to say 100 brachos every single day. So make the calculation. Let's start from the beginning of the day. What's the first bracha you make? So you look in many paiskim. What's the first bracha you make in the day? Hamapil Hamapil. When you go to sleep at night. When you go to sleep, Birchas Hamapil. When you go to sleep at night. What? No, not Ma'arif. The Poiskim, why? It's a very interesting reason. It's because when you make the bracha, I'll explain to you why. Because when you make the bracha, Hamavir Shena Me'inoy. Oh, no, no. Chevle, the bonds of Shena Me'inoy. You are Matir. No, I'm sorry to take it back. Hamatir Asurim, the bracha of Matir Asurim. What's the bracha of Matir? What's the bracha? Hashem, when you wake up in the morning, you make a bracha, you Matir, you release the prisoners. Whoever, what prisoner? What were you, a prisoner? Who locked you up? Why? Who locked you up? So you should know, I'll tell you one answer. This is going off the topic. Drush, you know what it means? You know what the bracha Matir Asurim is really referring to? It's referring to that you're married. A person, not joking, a person who is not married, a person, there is no greater prisoner in this world than a person who is not married. Let me explain to you. Let me explain to you why. Wait, let me say my piece. Why? Why? Because until you're married, you cannot bring out your full potential. You need a spouse to release you. What's okay being a prisoner? You sit, you have a couch, and you have a bathroom, you have free food, and they take care of you, get a college education. What's so bad being a Chmona Litzlan, a Chmona Litzlan being a prisoner in the United States? You know, you may have all of these things, but what you could accomplish in this world is severely, severely limited. When you're released from prison, you have opportunity. You can go and you can accomplish, you can do incredible things. A person who is not married, you need a spouse to bring out your potential. In the kinos on Tisha B'Av, this kina of Rabbi Yishmael's two son and daughter. And there they described themselves, they were matched up, this boy with this girl. That's the kina of shidduchim, of the shidduch crisis kina, where the boy says, is this what was meant for me? I should marry a shifcha? I'm the son of the Kohen Gadol. I'm now going to marry a slave. And she, the daughter in the other corner of the room, she cried out, is this what was meant for me, the daughter of the Kohen Gadol? I should marry a slave, a goyish, a slave. They thought each other was a slave. So there they describe in very powerful words the matzav of shidduchim. And the entire thing is wrapped up in a package of prisoners. Two children who were taken captive and served as prisoners. Rav Dov Cohen talks about this also. This is a concept. Where in Shimon Esrei do we daven for? Do we daven for shidduchim? Isn't that what everyone is thinking about when you daven Shimon Esrei?
Yes.
That's everyone. The most everyone in daven Shimon Esrei thinking about three things: parnasa, refuah, and shidduchim. That's it. Every word of the Shimon Esrei somehow has to fit into those three things. I said, refuah. Everything fits into those things. Good health, parnasa, and shidduchim. That's what it all comes down to. So how come nowhere, now good health, we have refuah, we have many references all over davening from beginning to end to refuah and good health. And there are many references throughout the entire nusach davening for parnasa. But nowhere does it ever make any mention about what everyone's on the top of everyone's mind, shidduchim. The answer is, When you say in the second bracha, Machalka Chayim Mechetz Lachayim Eisim Rachamim Rabbim Sameich Maiflim Veroifei Cholim Umatir Asurim, you provide Shidduchim Hashem. Matir, when you wake up in the morning, the Birchas Hashachar, every part, you wake up in the morning, open up your eyes, you stand up, you get dressed, and you come to Bracha Matir Asurim, you say, Boinu Shalolam, thank you that I have a spouse in this room. You wake up in the room. On the other bed is your spouse. You thank Hashem, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Matir Asurim. I make a bracha to you, Hashem. I thank you that I'm married, that I have a spouse who has released me from my state of being a prisoner. I'm able now to achieve whatever I can. A spouse brings out your potential. That's according to some, that's mamash the pshuta shel mikra. However, there's another pshat, and that is Matir Asurim. When you go to sleep, Hamap, when you go to sleep, what's the nusach of the bracha? I say the wrong thing. What's the nusach, the precise words of the nusach of bracha when you go to sleep? It's not right. People are not doing what you do. Not right. What is the precise nusach? What's the bracha? No, an arusa. An arusa is not an osu. You want to say that? No, I don't think so. Okay, what's the bracha? The bracha is hamapil. You cast down chevle sheina, the bands, the ropes of sleep, al enoy, upon my eyes. When a person goes to sleep, what he's basically saying is, by me going to sleep, figuratively, you're tying me down.
Ropes.
You're taking ropes, Hashem, and you're tying me down. When you wake up in the morning, you say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech Olam, Matir Asurim. The bracha of the Matir Asurim is a direct connection to the bracha you make at night. You cannot separate it. Just like when you get an aliyah, you make a bracha asher bochar banu, and when you finish, you say asher nasan lanu. It's the same thing. The bracha rishoina on sleep is hamapil chevlei sheina, the ropes of sleep, and the bracha acharoina when you wake up is Hashem, you are matir asurim. So that is why when you look at the svarim that tell you, make the calculation of how do we get to the number 100. In the 100 brachas that we recite every single day, they will tell you, the first bracha is first, hamapil, that's the first bracha. And that has halachic nafkamin, that the day really begins with hamapil. When you go to sleep, that's when the fast begins. The fast begins when you go to sleep. And therefore, if you do not make a tanai, a condition, mitzvah Shabbos, I'm going to sleep, but I'm making a tanai, I do not want this to constitute the beginning of the fast. I want to be able, when I wake up in the morning, to eat. I want to be able to eat. So then, If you do not do that, then me'ikar hadin, you're not allowed to eat. Me'ikar hadin, if you do not make a tanan, you go to sleep and you wake up before alos hashachar and you want to have a snack before the beginning of the fast, me'ikar hadin, according to the letter of the law, machshav also helps, you're not allowed to eat. Are you allowed to drink? Many say you are. If you forget to make the tanan, me'ikar hadin, you're allowed to drink. You are allowed to drink. However, today everyone is very makel. Even though everyone tells you don't forget to make the tanai, if you call up the rabbi 3 o'clock in the morning, you call. What else is a rabbi for, right? Rav Meir, would you call up the rabbi at 3 o'clock in the morning? You tell the rabbi, clear the guy in the morning, rabbi, I forgot.
That's asleep at 3 o'clock in the morning deserves to be wakened.
I forgot to make the tanai. Am I allowed to eat before the fast? So what is the rabbi going to say? He'll say, me'ikar hadin, you're not allowed to. But today, the assumption is that since it's a fast day, and since this is what the Hamoinam does, they like to wake up early and to eat before the fast day, so it's the minhag ha'olam to eat, if you can't, to wake up early on a long fast day to eat, so you could assume that's really what you had in mind. I'm telling you, that's what the rabbi is going to say. So, that's a leniency, because the rabbi doesn't want to get a headache when the guy doesn't eat, he does not eat, and he goes into a long, hot day, Shavasa B'Tamuz, until 9 o'clock without eating, and then when he gets sick, they'll come blame the rabbi, and they'll say, it's your fault. If I would have had a good breakfast at 3 o'clock in the morning, I wouldn't have been sick. So, today, maybe you'll say, we're so shvach, we're so weak, it's pikuach nefesh. So for some reason, the olam is very, very makel. If you forget to make the tanai, it's ki'ilu you made the tanai, and you can eat. Drinking, for sure, you can drink. But eating, l'chatchila, if you can remember, before you go to sleep, to make that tanai, because the MS is, the fast begins, when you go to sleep, when you say the birchas hamapil, that's the day begins. The beginning of the day. I think, in fact, in some of the old sidurim, the siddur began with birchas hamapil. Did not begin with a Ma'ariv. It begins with Hamapil. And certainly the Poiskim, when they calculate the 100 brachas, it begins with Hamapil. So this is a halachic issue of what to do for the fast day. Okay, now what happens, letting Vayichal, what about letting Vayichal, if let's say you have a minyan, you do not have, it's a Sunday. So being that it's a Sunday, it's normally not the day of Kriyas HaTorah. If you do not have at least 6 people in your minyan who are fasting, you cannot lane via no Kriyas HaTorah, period. You need to have it, since the laning is only laning for fasting, for the tainis. If you do not have in the shul at least 6 people who are fasting, you cannot lane via chal. Some disagree, some hold you have to have 7. Machloik is 6 or 7. Let's say you come to a big shul and you are not fasting. And the whole shul, there's a very big minyan, you're not allowed to take an aliyah. If they come over to you and they say to you, we want to give you an aliyah, we want to give you an aliyah on a fast day, and you are not fasting, you're not allowed to take an aliyah, especially this year when it's on a Sunday. If it was on a Monday or Thursday, then there are grounds to be lenient, because anyway, we would lay on a Monday, we wouldn't lay in this kriya, we would lay in the parasha shavua, but being that anyway, we would understand there are more grounds to be lenient. But by mincha, when you ordinarily do not lane, and by shachris, on a day when it's not a Monday or Thursday, if you are not fasting, you're not allowed to take an aliyah. The aliyah was established for the people who are fasting, not for the people who are eating. Let's say they don't ask you, and they call you up, Yamoid ployni ben ployni, and you are not fasting that day, what do? Big, big problem. Big machlokes apoiskim. So there's a curse. Normally when they call you up, you have no choice but to take an aliyah. It's something very chum. You're not allowed to not take an aliyah. This, according to some opinions, is the exception. Even if they call you up, just tell them, tell the oil, my boy, I don't want the curse. Arasha lo yakum, everyone should know there's a legitimate reason why I'm not taking the aliyah. I'm not fasting. Let's say it's a Chil Hashem. Let's say you're the Rav. You're embarrassed. Two things. Either you're embarrassed. Okay, you're embarrassed. You don't want people to know you have a medical condition. Right away they'll start murmuring. Ooh, he has a medical condition. Ooh, we're not going to renew the contract. He has a problem. Or let's say it's a chil Hashem because there's an expectation. It's an expectation. There are people that are watching. You can, your situation, every situation is different. People. What? What do you mean a yard site? What do you mean? On a tinus, and you're not fasting? Doesn't matter. You can't get the aliyah. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The laning by mincha and the laning on a shachris, which is not a day, when not a Monday or Thursday, that was only established for the people who are fasting, for the tzayim. And if you're not fasting, you should not take an aliyah. The exception is gadol kavod habrius. If you feel, not everyone feels this way, that it all depends on the situation. Every situation is different. You can't compare. But if you are embarrassed or you feel it will be a chil Hashem, then you can be makel. You can rely upon the poskim that the Kriyas HaTorah is not said for the people that are fasting. It's said for the tzibur. It's said for the tzibur, for the klal. And therefore, I'm part of the tzibur. It doesn't relate personally to me. You can take an aliyah. So, lechatchila, do not take an aliyah. B'diyar, if they call you, then with the evidence, it's okay. The world will not come to an end if you take an aliyah, even though you are not fasting. And again, you need to have 6 or 7 people who are fasting in order to lane. It's not enough to have a minyan. You have to have at least 6 or 7 who are fasting in order to lane vayichal. One last interesting thing is that what do we lane on Shabbos with Hamas on the Tzoyimus? Vayichal. What is vayichal? We lane Moshe was. What do we skip? No, we skip. What do we skip? We skip the chay to egel. You know, if you notice, the part that we skip is the mice of the Chet Egel, the whole story of the Chet Egel. What we don't want to say. So some say, but Shavasa B'Tamuz is when the Chet Egel happened. It's the Shviras Aluchas. So indeed, never saw this, but indeed there used to be such a minhag somewhere, someplace, where on Shavasa B'Tamuz was the day when they laned the entire section. There was no skipping. On Tisha B'Av Mincha, on Tainus Esther, on Tzom Gedalia, Asar B'Teves, then you skip the Chedu Egel. You just laned the part, the Yud Gimel Midos Sarachamim, Vayichal Moshe, and you skip Yud Gimel Sarachamim. But on Shavasa B'Tamuz, which is the anniversary of the Chedu Egel, you bedafkel don't skip. You bedafkel lane it. However, that is not the mino ko'olam.
Tomorrow is the yard side of Chor. So the egel
The egel was actually the day, but no, it continued. They made the egel. They starred the egel on the 16th day, and it flowed into the 17th day. They were dancing. Moshe came then on day 17, and he saw them dancing. They made the egel on... tomorrow is the 16th day. Tomorrow is the day when they thought Moshe died. Tomorrow is a dark day. Because on the 16th day was the day when Klal Yisrael were overcome with panic and Moshe Rabbeinu died. And they demanded from Aaron, they killed Hor, as you said, and they demanded to make the egel. And the egel was made the following day in the morning when Moshe came down, early in the morning. Okay, but this is an interesting thing: is that it's the anniversary, so therefore, B'davka, you should lay in Vayichal. Okay, we know this was Kohanim, Anenu. All the halachos are pretty much very straightforward, and the fast is no din Tosfos Shavasa B'Tamuz. The fast ends as early as you can. Don't be more religious about the fast. The fast ends. The minhag olam over here is 45 minutes. I don't think anyone, I've never met anyone, I've not seen a shul that has davening that ends the fast later than 45 minutes after sunset. Shabbos, we typically wait 50 minutes. Rav Moshe says to wait 50 minutes. Some wait 60, some wait 72, some wait 90, some wait even longer. But a tainis sibur, you only have to wait 45 minutes.
You need
ma'ariv? No, you do not need ma'ariv. You do not need ma'ariv. You can eat right away. You should have ma'ariv. You're not supposed to have a meal before. So that's an old shayla. Today you have minyanim around the clock, so it's not really such a big issue. The minhag olam is, is to first daven ma'ariv before you because of kriyas shema. Oh, you'll tell me, but the whole year round we're not makbid on this. You're right. But on select, occasionally, like on a tainus, we are makbid. So you're really doing the ikar hadin. What we do on a tainus is really what we should be doing the whole year round. The whole year round, we're not allowed to eat until we first recite Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema is a din d'oraisa. And once we recite Kriya Shema, we daven ma'ariv, because Kriya Shema, the brachos of Kriya Shema, are in the nusach of tefillah with the Shemona Esrei. So what we do on the Tainis is really what you should do every day of the year. You should not be permitted to put anything into your mouth until you first mekayim the mitzvah of Kriya Shema d'oraisa. And way to mekayim Kriya Shema is with the minyan, with the saying the brachos, which requires you to say the Shemona Esrei as well. So why don't we do this the whole year round? It's too hard. It's too hard. So we rely upon leniencies. What are the leniencies? We have set minyanim. We have set zmanim for a minyan. Our wife reminds us to go to the Arev. People remind us as part of our Seder Hayom. There are very valid leniencies. But occasionally, we don't rely upon leniencies. And we do it the way it's meant to be done. When? At the end of a tainus. That's all a tainus is all about. Okay, last thing before we can take a short break, and then we'll just last thing is that the Rambam is very, this is a very, you know what, I'll do this out, we'll do this afterwards, we'll take a break now, and that will conclude the middle part of it. So these are the basic halachas for tainus, and we'll talk a little other, a few ideas after the break.
Someone can make pinoy today.
Yes.
That's almost a Shabbat, I want to.